Welcome to the March 22nd virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our service today is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, who is assisted by Worship Associate Ellen Plummer. The planned theme for the service was wisdom literature, and although Rev. Pam touches on that theme in her sermon, much of the time in the service was devoted to the pandemic and how it is touching our lives. This week, our service was even more virtual in that no one was in the UUC meeting house, unlike last week when the seven who put on the service were all in the building. At times during the service, participants were invited to share text chats. And near the end of the service, Rev. Pam broke us up into groups of six or seven breakout groups in which we could unmute ourselves and talk about the service or what was going on in our lives. Near the beginning of the service, we were told that there were 99 virtual connections, and some had two or three people. We were told that the Zoom maximum allowed is 100. We will update our Zoom account, so this will not be a problem in the future.
Good morning, and welcome to our second virtual worship service together of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley. Now, I'd like us to have a chance to greet one another. So if you haven't already, click on the chat button and write in where you are worshiping from. You could say which part of town, which town, or maybe even which room in your house from which you are worshiping today. So let's take a moment to greet one another. There are now 99 of us here. The limit is 100, so we are at our limit. We will be recording this sermon, this service though, so if you hear of people who couldn't get in, we can have that recording. That's also a good thing to keep in mind as you're doing the chat, because the chat will also be saved so people can read what you wrote. So if you're writing something about how Rev. Pam is not looking very good today, don't type that, because I'll see it. And so now what I'd like to do is enter into worship.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ellen Plummer, your worship associate for today. And along with the rest of the country, we are practicing social distancing. While we may not be physically together today, our beloved community is worshiping in this virtual space, so that we may continue inspiring spiritual and ethical growth, creating compassionate community, and transforming our community and world with courageous love. Welcome to those of you who may have never gathered with us before. We are really glad you have found us. If you want to learn more, please visit our website at uucnrv.org. Or me email our minister, Rev. Pam. Our opening words this morning were written by the Reverend Linda Susan Ulrich. And the name of these words is March 2020. The cloudless, watery blue sky has yet to learn about the small virus wreaking havoc on the earth below. The red buds emerging from winter trees have no idea they're awakening to a world where people cannot hold the hands of their dying. The wind blows chill air through whether or not cheeks and fingers remain protected within walls. Stars continue to burn their great stores of energy. Do they also fear the day they'll run out? But the birds know everything about singing to each other across empty spaces. Dogs understand greetings that don't involve touch. Tortoises take things slowly and carry their sense of home everywhere. Cats flatten their curves all the time. What will history write about this moment? What will our children remember? May it be a story of mutual care across all boundaries, a habit of compassion as hopeful as the spring's return and as encompassing as the vaulted sky.
And for those of you who have never joined us before, you are joining us in the midst of our annual stewardship pledge drive. Here is our updated poster for our pledges. We have received 106 pledges for a total of $246,052. That means we're nearly 69% of the way toward our goal. To help us think about why we might want to pledge, I've asked Catherine Allen to share a reflection on why she pledges.
UU is all about being a compassionate community, which is something I knew long before I joined, because I could see its embodiment in my family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. My in-laws, David and Annette Burr, are UU members, and being part of their spiritual community has added a depth and richness to our family connection. The beauty of our grounds and the memorial garden are sacred spaces I appreciate and visit often. My son, Matthew Allen Special's ashes are buried in the memorial garden. Visiting him in this hallowed ground and bringing family and friends from out of town to remember him here has been so uplifting. The UU's devotion to social justice provides a spiritual home base that inspires and reminds me to bring my better self to community and interaction with others. For example, the UU graciously allowed Lisa Ivanilo and I to facilitate a support group for bereaved parents and grandparents, where we have a safe space for others who have experienced a devastating and isolating loss. I am grateful to Lisa and the UU for making this happen. I love being part of a Soul Matters small group where we practice the art of deep listening. The 7 strong and compassionate women in my Soul Sisters group this year, Helen, Anne, Mary, Sandy, Jane, and Jennifer, have helped me feel I belong to this wider community. The Sunday services are always full of surprises. I love sitting in the back with David and Annette, getting up to light a candle for my son and other beloved family members. And I especially love Rev Pam's spirited, creative, and challenging sermons. As soon as I leave the service, I call members of my extended family, most of whom have had careers in theater, the arts, or music education, and I say, guess what we sang in church today? Where else could I be on Sunday morning and hear Jared play John Coltrane during the offertory or get to sing Everything Possible by Fred Small of the Flirtations? The UU is my sacred ground, spiritual home base, and soul connection. I am so grateful to be part of this thriving community. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Remember that you can still pledge online. When you go to the congregation's webpage, scroll down until you find a big blue button on the left side. It says, Make a Pledge. If you have questions before pledging, let us know and we'll get a steward to contact you. I know this is an especially difficult time for many of us. It is. And whatever is generous to you is generous to us. So please consider your pledge. Also, today we're not taking up an offering. Maybe next week we'll figure out how to do it, which means that those of you who usually pay your pledges by putting a check in the offering basket will need to put it in the mail. We are grateful for all your generosity, for all the time, talent, and treasure that makes this congregation run. Now I'd like to share a meditation with you. These are the words of Reverend Lee Pakazula, and it is titled Beatitudes. So I invite you now to settle into your seat. whatever it is that you need to do to feel fully present to her words. Maybe take a deep breath. Maybe close your eyes. Then we'll hold a time of silence. Blessed are the elderly and the immunosuppressed. Blessed are the fearful, the anxious, and irritable. Blessed are the ones who use humor to get by, the ones who could use a vacation anyway, the ones who fear for their life. Blessed are the ones who are sick of it, all the flawed logic, the security theater. Blessed are the ones who cry out, this is why we need a safety net, a kinder society, a new world. Blessed are the healthcare workers, the administrators catching heat for every decision, the messengers with no power over the message. Blessed are the sad and the lonely. Blessed are the healthy and the sick, the well and the unwell. Blessed are all of us just trying to do our best. Blessed are those who stay kind and clear, who keep our eyes open to each other. Blessed is our neighbor. Blessed are we all. Blessed are we all. Blessed are we all. Amen, and blessed be. I invite Ellen to share today's reading.
Today's reading is by the Reverend David Miller, minister of the UU Church in Fairfax, Virginia. Excuse me for stating the obvious. This pandemic has no false borders between countries. It sees no imaginary constructs of race. It does not discriminate between the powerful, those who have made fortunes, or struggle to put food on their table. It will not cede to our illusion of control. It treats us all as if we are one. One human entity, one infallible, fragile, and irrepressible family, which, if we could ever recognize like this virus does, maybe someday we could become.
Thank you, Ellen. So, this week, our service was slated to be about wisdom literature. Thinking about what it means to be a people of wisdom, it made sense to consider one of the six sources of Unitarian Universalism that we don't often consult, Jewish and Christian teachings. Surely we could find something in the wisdom literature in the Hebrew scriptures that would be relevant to our lives. Of course, we made those plans before we knew what our lives would be like today. The wisdom literature is made up of the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Job. When Kimberly Homer, one of our worship associates, wrote in an email that she'd been thinking about Job and whether our circumstances would get worse than his, I was struck. What could be more relevant than Job? Even if you're not familiar with the book, you probably have at least a passing knowledge of the story. It begins when God boasts of the goodness of Job. There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Satan, not the devil, but more properly translated as adversary or prosecutor, argues that Job is only good because God has blessed him abundantly. If all were taken from him, Job would curse God. And so God lets Satan take everything away from Job. First his livestock, then his servants, then his children, and eventually his health. That's what I remembered about Job from my childhood, about all the terrible things that happened to him, but how he never cursed God. He never lost his faith. And while we haven't been taken down as low as Job, we are all facing losses. We have already lost the ability to safely gather, to live our lives normally. Some of us have lost our livelihoods. And we know other losses are looming. But as I revisited the text, I realized that the parallels with the book of Job really get even more tenuous. For one thing, all those terrible traumas Job goes through happen in the first two books of a 42-chapter book. To their credit, Job's friends did spend 7 days and seven nights sitting on the ground with him, offering him a ministry of presence in his time of mourning. By my calculation, we are in the first chapter of our book of pandemic. But the rest of the book of Job is a series of arguments about why it has happened, of trying to make sense of all of Job's ills. Job questions why God is punishing him. He knows he's a good and upright man. His friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu, spend many, many chapters arguing that he must have done something wrong, that he must have sinned. That is the only explanation that makes sense. But we know what they don't know, that Job is blameless. We know what God and Satan have been up to, trying to prove whether a man whose blessings have been taken from him will keep his faith. In their limited understanding, neither Job nor his friends could make sense of it because it didn't make sense. That's another place where the comparison falls through. Job was an unusually righteous and wealthy man, but as our reading points out, the virus doesn't make such distinctions. It does not discriminate between the powerful, those who have made fortunes or struggle to put food on their table. The rich and powerful may get priority for testing and treatment, and the young and healthy may have milder symptoms. But we are all at risk of contracting the disease. Unlike Job, we are all in this together. And as for making sense, in the midst of the first chapter of our book, does it even make sense for us to ask the question, why? Why is this happening to us? I'm not suggesting that we are the pawns in a supernatural chess game, but even if we were, would it matter? What matters more is answering the question, what? What are we called to do? And we've already begun to answer that question. What are we called to do? We are called to practice social distancing. No, let's remember to call it physical distancing, because we know that we can flatten the curve and increase the likelihood that our medical system can better handle the crisis if fewer of us contract the virus all at once. And that is holy work. We are looking beyond ourselves to the good of the whole. We are called to stay connected by gathering this morning from our separate homes to remind each other that we are not alone. And through the week, we can stay connected by attending other Zoom meetings, emailing and phoning, sending letters and cards, and remembering to check in on folks who might be especially isolated or at risk. That is sacred work. We are called to help one another. Member Alyssa Short has put together a UUC volunteer and assistance request sign up online. And Lisa has sent it out with announcements and will continue to send the link out in her announcements. We can volunteer to be a chat or video buddy, to pick up and deliver medicines or groceries, to provide technical support, to be an online game buddy, or to do anything else you can think to offer. So far, we've already received 12 or 13 offers to help. And as time moves on, I hope that we begin to receive more requests for help. You know what you need, so please let us know so that we can help. Giving and receiving help is blessed work. And because we are all one, in the words of our reading, one human entity, one fallible, fragile, and irrepressible family, we are called to care for one another both inside and outside this congregation. As we hear of needs in the community, we must answer those calls. So far, we've heard that the United Way NRV is looking for financial and other donations and volunteers to organize food deliveries. The Radford Fairlawn Daily Bread is also looking for drivers for their Meals on Wheels program. The Interfaith Food Pantry is looking for financial donations. As you hear of needs in the community, please contact me and our administrator, Lisa Ivanilo, so that we can spread the word. As the book of pandemic progresses, there may be a time when we, like Job and his friends, ponder questions of why. Why were we so unprepared? Why didn't we have enough tests? Why were medical supplies like masks and ventilators in such short supply? We can ask and answer those questions so that we can make better choices in the future. But for now, let's ask questions that help us get through. What are we called to do? To practice physical distancing, to stay connected, to care for one another, to acknowledge and to practice being one fallible, fragile, and irrepressible family. Let us work to make it so. So now we have an opportunity for all of you to share with one another. We're going to try something new this week. It's called a breakout room. What I'm going to do in a minute is I'm going to put you all into small groups of about six or seven people. We'll do this for 5 minutes. My invitation to you is this. introduce yourselves to one another, and share what it is that is helping you to get through these days. We only have about 5 minutes, so keep track of time and make sure that you share it. When there's 1 minute left, you'll see a warning so that you'll know that it's time to wrap up. I invite you also to share how you can get connected again after the service. If you don't, as soon as you go into the breakout room, you'll be asked to join your room. So click on that and also unmute yourself. If for some reason your microphone isn't working, you can use the chat with those in your breakout room. So this is a grand experiment. I have no idea how this is going to work. So let's try it and see. My benediction today is just a repetition of the song, as hard as it may seem at times. All will be well, but we have to work to make it so. So I'm so grateful for all of you joining us this morning. I hope to see some of you this week in some of our chat room meetings. I hope to hear from you, especially if you have needs this week ahead, or if you'd like to offer help.